discover the French language with Jessica. It's right here. It's right now on French Your Way podcast.
Bonjour à tous. Welcome to French Your Way podcast. This is episode 91 in French, 91 and not 91. So be careful. If you've checked my Instagram recently, the previous months, or if you've subscribed to my newsletter, even better, you know that we've spent 3 months of family time in France during the French summer and autumn. So what I'd like to do today is to share and discuss our impressions, some memories and typically French things that we did or that we noticed. These are trends, but may not be applicable to anyone. This is just a little disclaimer, just to avoid the stereotypes when I say, like, we do that in France. It's not every single person, maybe. Yeah, because really, I don't like the stereotype of the French man with a baguette under their arms and a beret and, you know, the stripy blue and white shirt. And yeah, so I really try to free myself from that a little bit. So anyway, talking about bread, one of the things I was looking forward to the most was going to the bakery. So this daily task of getting the bread was ours. And if you listen to my other podcast, so French Voices, this is more upper intermediate or advanced level in French, but there is a transcript. French Voices podcast episode 63, I interview a baker from our favorite bakery that we used to go to in France. And So there are several types of baguettes. There's if you order une baguette, you will get their normal baguette. Every bakery also has their tradition or baguette tradition, so that they make it's kind of their their signature baguette, or a premium version, or a more rustic one, or like with a different type of flour. So that's a baguette that we liked to order, the tradition. My husband was surprised when I asked for a 1.5 baguette on the first days or so. The baker would take a knife, take a whole baguette, take a knife and slice a baguette in two. And so he was surprised that you could do that. So know that you can. I think you can even order, but I have a doubt because I haven't done it in the recent years. I think you can order a quarter of a baguette even, but that needs to be double checked. So you may know better than me. Please, if you're in France, if you're going to France soon, try that. Ask for un quart de baguette, or une baguette et un quart, so one baguette and a quarter, and see if it works. And please get back to me, contact me by email, because I don't want to just be saying wrong things to you. So then you can. Another thing that you can do is when you are at the supermarket, you know, when you want to buy a bottle of water or two or three, you don't want a whole pack of six. You can actually crack the pack open and just help yourself with how many bottles you want. It's not a problem not to buy the whole pack. So my husband was also surprised when I did it the first time. And then we did it throughout the 3 months, so he saw that it was really like a common thing to do. Yes, because we went there with our baby, that was actually the purpose of our trip. We were introducing Lily to the family. I could see, I could notice that there were different parenting approaches. So that's like true all the time. That's true everywhere. When we were talking with like some family members or people, I noticed that the recommendations for what kids should eat and when they should be introduced to solids, etc., varies. As in Australia, like, you can introduce food from 4 months old. It's between 4 and 6 months. And of course, you start maybe with like mash or puree, but you quickly increase to, like, just to vary the textures, you quickly go to like coarsely mashed food or even some small pieces. While in France, you start the solids and, like, same actually, 4 to 6 months, but you stay on a pureed food until 1 year. So they were surprised that I was feeding Lily, like, yeah, my family was surprised that I was trying to feed her rice or small pasta or just coarsely chopped food. They also have different recommendations in terms of how many meals you should take, or like for the sleep, or yeah. So I noticed that. I'm not going to go further, because if you're not a parent, that may be terribly boring to you. What I've noticed, so I say that in random order, really, but from the top of my mind, at the supermarket, I used to be delighted, and this time I was shocked to see how many sweets and desserts were on offer in the French supermarket. Like, really, every single, like, you have a whole aisle for, like, the dessert yogurts. So that includes some tiramisu, some crème, some crème brûlée, some mousse, blah, blah, blah. You have a whole aisle, but I mean, like, 50 different brands of cereals is, like, I'm sure, double or triple the amount of choice that we have in Australia. And then you have, like, I think it was more than what I'm used to seeing now. And however, the part dedicated to, like, the veggie section was really small. Like, we ended up eating the same, like, mushrooms and zucchinis and tomatoes all summer. And, like, even for canned food, there's only a small aisle for it. So, lots of sweet. Definitely, our meals are more sweet, because we always end up with a dessert. Sometimes we drink cordial or juice, like, as we would drink water during the meals. And our breakfast, to start with, are only sweet. There's no such thing as, like, you have, for example, bacon on toast with eggs, and or just porridge that you don't add sugar to. Instead, it's the cereals, you know, one of the 50,000 brands of cereals I was talking about, that are packed with sugar, and it's jam, and it's pain au chocolat, and it's, like, toast with, like, butter, and it's, like, hot chocolate with, like, so the drinking chocolate also has sugar in it, and so it's very sweet. And I kind of lost this habit a little bit, but then I have a sweet tooth. And even though I thought it was too much, I have to say that I couldn't help myself from buying a pâtisserie, like, almost every day, and also drinking the hot. So I actually pulled on a little bit of weight during this vacation, unfortunately. But you see, that's cultural. And when I'm in France, I seem to just switch back to how I usually am in France, or how I used to be in France. And this is what I've always known. So it's sweet for me in the sense of, like, sweet memories. So I just, like, give in and indulge into, like, all my favorite desserts. And so now that I'm back, I'm going to, like, really re-exercise and be careful to what I'm eating. Coffee is offered at different times of the day. So some people have it, like my mom, for breakfast, which I really think, sorry, but it's not a breakfast. It has absolutely no nutritional value. So I'm a bit appalled, but then it's also something cultural. Coffee is not sweet. It's very bitter, and it's very dark, and it's very dense. So the cups are actually very small. Coffee is offered after dessert or with dessert at meals. So if you go to the restaurant, you will be offered at the end of the meal, would you like a coffee? Which is surprising for, like, people here in Australia, for example. because it would even be offered at dinner, you know, with dessert. So, like, I don't think French people are bothered by it. I say French people because I don't have an opinion. I don't drink coffee. But, like, I know that some people are skeptical that they are offered coffee in French at a late time because they said, like, so what about sleeping? Doesn't it prevent you from sleeping? So just a little other cultural difference. Weather, we had a beautiful weather, hot summer, sometimes too hot. We actually had a heat wave. And so I wanted to give you the French word for a heat wave. It's une canicule, la canicule in French. And this had an impact on the crops and so crops because the harvest is in July and August. So all the wheat fields, for example. So for farmers this year, 2016 has been terrible year because they had a lot of rain all throughout spring and the first part of summer. But when we came, it was actually very, very hot. And apparently all the grains were tiny in the pods. So they will have lost like up to a third of their production. It had an impact also on grapes because grape harvesting was in September. End of September for this year, a little bit later than usual, also due to the lack of sun during spring. But lack of grape doesn't mean that it's going to be a bad year for them because it just depends on the quality of the wine and champagne. As Tristan Yest will tell you if you listen to French Voices episode number 52, I have interviewed a champagne producer. Something very cool and handy that I discovered was that the system of the greeters, who is apparently quite commonly spread in the US, has started to also spread in France. So greeters are volunteers who you can contact when you're visiting a region, and they can show you around their village or their town, or telling you about one particular aspect of the culture or the history. So it's free, and it's a good way to have like a private tour with a local. So if you're in France or when you go to France, check like Google greeters with the name of the region or the name of the town, the city that you're in, and you can book a very authentic like tour with them. We've been doing quite a bit of driving, so there is there are my travel tips about driving in episode 75 of French Way podcast. Just a reminder that if you're driving in France, you need to give way unless otherwise stated by a road sign, but you need to give way to any person coming onto your right. So it's probably the thing that we had to pay the most attention to when we were driving. Also, when we were taking like the autoroute, for example, or a toll road, and that I haven't said in the driving in the travel tips about driving in France, the toll gate in France, it's called un péage. It's P-E-A-Q-A-G-E, un péage. And I just found that even though it's spelled different, it sounds a little bit like payage, where you have to pay. So just a little like easy thing that is easy to remember for you. Summer, like I would say from like May to late August in France, there's a great thing to do. It's the brocante or garage sales. It's a big, it can be big or small actually, but that's when people like sell what they have in their attic or all their junk or in their garage. You can't do that in the street freely in France. You need a permit, and so you can actually look online or even go to like a news agent and buy a little booklet with all the dates of the brocantes that are in the region throughout summer. And like every Saturday, Sunday, and sometimes Friday, you can go and look for treasures. It's a bit of a trash and treasures. So yeah, the system is a little bit different in that there are set dates. You need to book like a spot where you will bring your own table, and it's usually it's very very cheap. It's only a few euros, but that will actually give you the legal right to do so. And the last thing, not about something French, but actually we went for a surprise trip. Like we took my mom for a surprise trip to Belgium, actually to Bruges, which is not in the French-speaking part of Belgium. It's a Dutch part of Belgium. So that was that's beautiful. If you have a chance to go there, do. It's a little Venice from the north. You already know that if you've listened to last month's newsletter. But what I wanted to say is, so in Bruges, they understand quite well the English, German, and also French, although it is like not their native language, but French is learned from a very young age at school, so most people are doing quite well. But what I've tried to do is, I noticed how people were greeting, and then I asked, maybe on the first day, how do you say thank you? Because I think it's always good to, when you're in a foreign country, to show that you're making the effort, and also for the experience, to like greet and just be polite, use a few words in the language of the country that you're traveling to. So that's what I was trying to do. And on the second day in the morning, so we went to a bakery and I ordered, and I wanted to do the full transaction in Dutch, so I knew how to say hi, I knew how to say thank you, and I just needed the number one so that I could say one croissant, one like that cake, one that thing. So I asked actually the baker at the beginning, I asked her, how do you say one? And she told me it's in, and so I was like, in. And then reading the labels of the things that I wanted to take. And like she smiled because I could really have done that in French because she understood French. But I think she appreciated the effort. And just the reason why I'm wanting to finish this podcast episode on that is it's a little bit echoing podcast 77, which was zero confidence when speaking French, when I was giving you my tips on how to overcome your fear of speaking French, and little tips on how you can like force yourself, make the effort of like doing like basic exchange, and how well it would be perceived and appreciated by the person that you're talking to. So that's it. I just wanted to, because I have told you to do it, I just wanted to tell you that I have done it too, and I thought about you all as I was doing it. So now, to conclude, if you haven't done so yet, I would send you back to episode 77, Zero Confidence When Speaking French. Thanks a lot, and see you in the next episode of French Away Podcast.